Woo! Back here in the Korea studios. Oh man, welcome to Spinning It. I don't even know what episode we're on right now. I gotta say, because we've been literally doing Spinning It from out of the studio for the past few episodes. I did a couple from downtown Disney over at our Anaheim Ducks days at California Adventure Park. And man, that was fun. If you were to ask me as a big Disney guy growing up that years down the road, not only would I be repping the Ducks, DJing, hosting from within the Disneyland Resort, but to be recording a podcast with some of our, you know, big alumni that played here from all the way back in the Mighty Ducks days to now is it's crazy. I'm still pinching myself. And then, you know, we just had Come Out and Play Night. I can't believe I got to interview the Offspring from inside the Ducks home locker room, man. Absolutely insane. It's been nuts. And so I appreciate you guys tuning in. And I'm just so happy to be back here in the Korea studio because I got a special guest here in the building. And, you know, as we come back from the Foreign Nations break, you know, we're back here at home. We got the Blackhawks coming into town. And so what better way than to have the DJ for the Chicago Blackhawks, Lee Michaels, a.k.a. DJ Lee. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, first of all, what brought you out here to town, man? I mean, was it because of the Ducks-Blackhawks game?
No, that was by chance. I had an event on Thursday.
Okay, yep.
And then I have another event Sunday.
Yep.
So this was right in between perfectly. I looked up your schedule, and I was like, oh, I should know this.
Yeah.
We're here.
We're here. So. And here's the thing. I know we're going to talk about it, but yeah, that's us DJs. Hey, you know, we might be known at like myself as, you know, DJ for the Anaheim Ducks, Lee DJ for the Chicago Blackhawks, but best believe when there's not a game, we are picking up gigs elsewhere.
Absolutely. We have to.
Exactly. and props to you, man, coming, you know, getting booked out here in California. I mean, hopefully maybe one day I could catch a gig in Chicago.
Absolutely. Just let me know when you're going to be in town, and we'll make some calls. So.
See, that's the thing. I you know, the rivalries between sports, you know, obviously exists, but when it comes to, you know, when you're working for the teams and stuff, like, yes, of course we have our banters and whatnot, but in the end of the day, it's all love, man.
Absolutely.
You know, we're all doing the same thing. We're trying to do the same thing for our own fan bases, and I can't wait to really to get in with it with you, man.
For sure.
And so I appreciate you being the first you know, guest DJ from another NHL team to be here, you know, and obviously we relate in so many ways, but can you tell the fans a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you got into being the DJ for the Blackhawks?
Well, I started doing it in 1998, so it's been a while.
Wow.
So we're on 26 years. I did it kind of at the end of high school as a hobby. I didn't know this could be a full-time job. So it was one of those, hey, Dad, I need some money. and so, you know, he's like, oh, for what? Like, you know, I was like, well, here's the deal. I got a contract all lined up. So I did my paperwork knowing that my dad was going to, like, you know, I had to put on kind of a presentation for him. So I just said, hey, I need $3,000. I looked up this DJ equipment at Sam Ash. And he's like, what do you want to do this for? This is an expensive hobby. And I was like, listen, I have a kind of full part-time job. I'll pay you back. I told him I'd pay him back in like a year. And then I wound up paying him back in like 6 months. So I lived up to it. But so that was 1998. I got things started. Didn't know what I was doing. Unboxed it. Thought it would just be a hobby. And I'm 26 years in and full time. So
and that's the key word here in terms of I would say the misconceptions about DJs is that it's a hobby,
right?
You know, from your party DJs to your club DJs to DJs, yeah, that are DJing the biggest festivals in the world.
Right.
Like, yes, this is a job, but I think there is that again, that misconception. I feel like I had the same ordeal with even my parents when I first started presenting that I wanted to DJ. They're like, oh, cool. So you want to pick this up as a hobby.
Right.
And
there's no money in it.
Yeah. There's no money in it. And you know, I pursued it, ended up, you know, dropping out of nursing school. Sorry, nice. Mom. But I know you're proud now. She's over at games.
Good, good.
You know, cheering us
She's
on.
She's like, that's my nerve. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. No, but nonetheless, you know, it I guess it starts off as a hobby. And then you start to realize, you're like, you know what? I'm getting a little good at this, and you know, I want to pursue it as a career. And then I'm sure you kind of built that up throughout those years, and then boom, all of a sudden you're stepping into bigger stages, and then now you're going into, you know, arenas and for big sports teams. Like, talk about that. Like, where did that transition?
So leading, I mean, all the way down the road, there's 20 years that lapsed. And then 2018, I got the call from the Blackhawks to test out the DJ thing. They saw that it worked well with the Bulls. The Bulls were already probably 5 or 6 years in. I think the NBA probably adopted it first in just pro sports, right?
Yeah. And to elaborate a little bit there, you know, these teams have had music all this time, but there's a difference between someone playing music for you know, just certain moments, and then having a DJ from a performative standpoint, be in the stands with the people mixing live. So they wanted to try that out.
Yeah. Instead of what people would consider iTunes.
Sure.
They wanted to bring in someone to actually DJ live and have it be a performance.
And how was that test in 2018?
We're still doing it. So
they're still testing.
So they rolled it out with me. Yeah. I guess it went well. So after that first night, I remember it was against the LA Kings. They wanted to do like a Friday night DJ set, you know, and see what happened. So it wasn't, my boss was like, well, we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And we rolled it out. And then he checked in with the right people and said, what did you guys think? And they said, let's do this every game.
Nice.
And so from 2018 on, here we are.
Yeah.
And it's been great. I love it.
You mentioned that there was some influence there from, you know, obviously a team within the market, the Bulls in this case. You know, just being an original six team, did you feel like that just kind of came later because they were an original six team and they were just more, you know, kind of, I guess, traditionalist by definition, or however you kind of want to phrase that up?
Probably. And I think, you know, we have an organist. And they relied a lot on the organist. And so I think maybe they thought with an organist and already pre-recorded music, plus, you know, sound on video, you know, we've got everything crossed off. And then it's like, well, why don't we add this fourth element?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but do we need it? So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I think it was just the times kind of called for it. I know my boss loves the whole DJ thing. He was a DJ back in the day.
Okay.
So
he's an advocate.
totally. So he gets it. And I think it was, you know, he kind of presented it to his upper management or bosses and said, hey, let's give this a shot at least one time.
Yeah.
We did it and they loved it. And so we just kept going with it. So.
And we're here years later.
8 years. Seven. Wow, 7 years. This is my seventh season. So.
Yeah, for sure. And even through, you know, COVID and all that stuff, it came back.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and we did it all through COVID.
Same with us as well.
Like they didn't want the players to feel any difference.
Any difference.
So I did the same thing just for nobody.
But hey, at this case, you really were able to play for the guys.
Man,
which is really cool, right?
Yeah, that was, it was actually, I was more nervous to play for like, I don't know, the 70 people in the stadium.
Yeah.
Than if the, it was, when it's sold plus. Out, I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
You got 70 total in the building. Now you really got to watch yourself.
Oh, man. And, you know, speaking of playing for the players. You do the warm-up mixes at the games that you do?
Like the first 16 minutes, the player skate warm-up. Like.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Talk us through that. Obviously, we have our own kind of approach here. You know, I have the opportunity to kind of talk to the guys before the season, and even throughout the season, well, you know, if I run into them, kind of gauge, like, you know, hey, what are you guys listening to in the locker room and stuff like that. And you know, that warm-up mix here in Anaheim, we bump up the speakers even louder.
Right.
Like we really want to make sure that we're pumping our guys up.
For sure.
I mean, can you speak to kind of what that approach is in Chicago for you?
So our doors open an hour and a half before the game.
Yep.
And then I go live.
Cool.
So I do a 45 minute mix right there.
Oh, nice.
But it's quiet.
Yeah.
But it's loud enough.
Yeah,
it's loud enough where I get people coming up to me being like, hey.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're looking for you or whatever. Or the, you know, the staff. They're all like getting their bars ready. And so I play knowing that there's fans coming in.
Yeah.
I know that there's a staff setting up. And there's still a building filled with people that I care about.
100%.
So I just, you know, I go into a set right away. They used to just play just background music.
Yep.
You know, like the Eagles or whatever. But now it's like, and then I'll open up with like a song that I think is like makes sense for the day.
For sure.
Like the Hawks were on a road trip. Their first game back, I played Welcome Back, Mace.
There you go.
No one got it. I did. Hey, I did it for me.
Hey, there's always going to be a few. You know, I got to say, us DJs, especially sports DJs, there is definitely a story we're trying to tell.
There might be one person that hears it and gets it, but that's my market. That's my market.
Yeah, if we could just get one of y'all. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So I opened with Welcome Back, Mace. And then it's like, all right, now what? And then I just have fun with it.
For
and
sure.
I'm like, what would I want to hear if I walked in? But also, what would I want to hear if I was a kid? What would I want to hear if I was 70?
Absolutely.
So I'll go into Stevie Wonder. I'll go into this, that. I'll hit all the eras in 45 minutes. I'll create my own like live mashup using stems and stuff.
Oh, yes.
Not only for me, because it keeps me engaged and it's kind of a warm up for the player warm up. You know, it's like getting back on
the
bicycle.
You got to warm up the fans. You got to warm up the staff. So I love that.
Yeah. So I warm up myself and everybody around. And I think of all the ages that are coming through the door. I think about security.
Of course.
The security guys, they come up to me and high five me. And it means a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're listening.
Yes.
And I'm like, cool. I forgot you were listening. Yeah. I forgot anyone was listening.
And what means even more is when you're able to have that type of engagement with people, whether that's staff or even all the way up to your most dedicated season ticket members.
Right.
When they're in the building every single time,
right,
and you're able to show parity in your music and not it just be the same thing.
Yep.
Game the game. That's when you know you're doing a good job.
Yeah. And
know?
If I see like a season ticket holder that I know likes a specific song, I'll fire it off.
Yeah, fire it off.
Or
you
know, a specific security guy that, you know, I know likes the 80s. I'll throw like a, you know, a song in that he doesn't realize I'm kind of going his, you know, direction. But it also gives you something to play with because we have so much music and so much available that it's nice to kind of get a direction or get an idea. Like I said, the Welcome Back thing, for me, it was like, well, I need something to like energize myself.
Yeah.
So I just played the hook of Welcome Back, went into the instrumental, threw in an acapella, just
boom.
And then I'm off and running.
And then you're off and running.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it flies. And then boom, all of a sudden you hit the player warm up. And now you're playing
that's
for the guys.
That's
a whole different
beast. I've had people in the stadium say, are you the same DJ as the one that opened up? Because it's like, I'm doing like throwbacks for the warm up. I'm sorry, for the doors open.
For the walk-in, yep.
And then when it goes to play or skate, now it's like an EDM music festival.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, are you the same guy that was doing like the 80s?
That was playing like Stevie Wonder.
I'm like, yeah, that was my other personality.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm busting out all the all the big name EDM. It's like a Tiesto setup in here with, I get it. It's the same with us too.
Yeah.
Our guys like to you know, at the end of the day, hey, What gets you pumped up? Whether that's you working out at the gym or you driving to work and you're dealing with your hour and a half commute. Yeah, you want to play. Yeah, some people are going to listen to a podcast. Hopefully it's this one at some point. But some people are going to get hyped up and they want something in our world as DJs, something with a high BPM, beats per minute, something that is literally going to get the blood flowing, right?
Especially that player warm-up.
Yeah.
Even the fans, I mean, I can see they like elevate as well.
Oh, you know? 100%.
So it's kind of like the progression of getting to the stadium. And then as you get closer to game time and the puck drop, it's you know.
Yeah.
You got to build that. So
for your guys, so they like the EDM stuff. Do they dip into the hip hop? Any other kind
of
genres that you kind of throw into it?
Yeah, I mean, we all have players from everywhere. So anything from hip hop to even like the Skrillex, you know, like trap and like you know, from EDM hip hop. I mean, they're young. They're young guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
same with us.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
So it's you know, I think we're all kind of probably playing similar things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
at the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and as far as requests go, we used to have guys that would like send us up stuff. they don't do it as much anymore because I think they like what's happening.
Yeah.
It's almost like if I don't hear anything, I assume it's going really well.
Hey, so. I think this quote goes for a lot of other fields of work, but for us DJs, a lot of times, no news is good news.
Yeah,
no doubt. Leading in out of the player one, obviously, to get back in, now we're building up to the start of the game and obviously throughout the game too. Just talk through kind of like what your strategy is to kind of maintain, you know, that level of energy throughout the game, regardless of what, you know, the score is up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's an entertainment event.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So whether you're down or up, people paid good money to be there. Now, some games more than others, but in my mind, I'm here to entertain and make sure that they have the best time no matter if we win or lose.
Yep.
So if we're down four, well,
yeah,
buckle up.
Yeah.
But you know what? At the end of the day, the formula is the same. It's an entertainment industry. These people paid good money to have their family there.
Yeah.
And they want to have fun, win or lose.
Yeah.
So so any way I can engage with the crowd, maybe play specific songs for days of the week or, you know, just to like get in their heads.
Yeah.
But you just gotta keep that energy up because the fans are there, they paid their hard earned money and they deserve us to bring it no matter what.
So. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And I you know, I don't want to speak on behalf of yourself or in fact other DJs around the league. But when I first started coming up here, there was kind of like this this thought process of like, hey, if we're losing, don't play stuff that's too much fun. It might kind of make it a mockery of like what's happening. And I get that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Like, obviously I'm not going to play, you know, Usher. Yeah. After getting scored on. I know.
Right.
But what a DJ classic, by the way, Usher. Yeah. That track is timeless, but nonetheless, I feel like we're constantly riding this wave, and I think hockey has its own unique factor to it. You know, even comparing it to basketball, there are constant changes happening in the game. There's a lot more scoring, so you're able to kind of react more. Whereas hockey, I mean, you could be in the middle of the third period and it's been a great game, but it's a 0-0 score.
Right.
And so you're trying to ride the intensity of the game and not necessarily just playing tracks just to play tracks, you know? I totally get what you're saying. I love how we kind of relate in that way in terms of like, yeah, if even regardless of what's happening on the ice, we have to entertain regardless.
Right.
However, obviously there's still, you know, parameters around it too. So
for sure.
the best DJs I feel like in the field are able to find that balance between the two.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's great. As far as, you know, just going into that whole music selection thing, you know, just kind of get back to that. How far ahead are you thinking? Or, you know, or are you reacting like literally in the moment? I'm sure it's a little bit of both, but that's how it is for us here. You know, like how is it for you in Chi-Town?
Well, you know, I'll prep at home sometimes for a game. Other times I'll get to the, you know, to the United Center early and prep. Some games I feel like there's more prep than others. Just maybe they were on a long road trip and I haven't been there in a while. And I'm like, all right, reset for everybody. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What day of the week is it? Who are we playing? Also, what do we have scheduled that game, depending on what promotions are going on? So, I don't like to look too far ahead, but you know, I'll do a little prep at home, a little at the United Center. And then during the game, that's our job to adjust.
Yeah.
You know, it 100%. Could go from 0-0 to 3-0 real quick.
Yeah.
On both sides. We can go down 3, we can go up 3. You know, things happen so quickly in hockey. Like you don't have much time to blink. So,
yeah.
It's one of those. I love the fact that you got to adjust and roll with the punches depending on, you know, what circumstance happens.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I think we all definitely, relate in that way. Going back to Lee growing up, were you like born and raised Chicago?
Yeah. Okay. Just outside the city. I would say probably like 8 to 10 miles outside of the city.
Nice.
But
grew up a block back on sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bulls, of course.
Of course.
I mean,
yeah.
Like that was the 90s. So like my whole childhood was like, I just thought you won titles every year. Like I didn't realize yeah. you could lose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I was just so used to winning all the time that like once we hit that Bulls drought, I was like, it's just not that easy.
Sports has yeah. its cycles.
People lose. Like, yes. So and I was fortunate enough to have Bulls tickets every year, like a good allotment of them because my dad worked for a bank that had season tickets.
Oh, nice.
So, and they would, you know, give them to employees or whatever. And so we found our way to a lot of the 90s Bulls games.
Oh, that's great.
So, and then, yeah, of course, a Blackhawks fan, Bears, and then I'm Cubs.
Okay.
Because in Chicago, you can't have more than one baseball team. It's just the rule.
Well, it's funny you say that coming now visiting a market that has two of literally every single major league sports
team.
Right.
So now you get it. You didn't always get it, but now you do.
Yeah. In terms of the Blackhawks, like, yeah, you went through those, you know, the early 2010s, mid 2010s, went through some pretty good yeah. runs there as a fan. And then like, at what point did you start to like kind of really think about like, man, you know what? I'm gonna try and work for this team.
So I never tried to work for the team. I didn't.
Let's go.
I worked at clubs. Yeah. I did nightclubs. I did that sort of thing. I got to know the players because they'd all come out to places that we'd work, mm-hmm. You know, got to make friends with them over the years.
Crazy.
I did a lot of the overnight parties when like Stanley Cup stuff.
Yeah.
Like we won three titles, right? But they were like perfectly spread out where it was like 6 or 7 years of success.
Look,
but I mean, I think it was like
I almost want to end the podcast right here because you're giving me memories of 2015 losing to y'all in the Western Conference final in 7 games. Man, bro. But hey, you guys went on to win it that year. And now you're DJing Stanley Cup parties and all this stuff.
So that was before I joined the team.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
I was friends with all the players. Yeah. Or you know, I would see them everywhere. Ugh. Especially during the success.
Yeah.
Because they're young, you know, and they're excited. I mean, so it was like 2010. But even before that, we were making the playoffs every year. It was like 9 years straight of making playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
We win in 2010. That carries over into 2011, 2012. Then we win in 13. And then that carries over into 14. Mm-hmm. And then 15. And that carries over. So even the down years weren't down because we were still on a high for winning.
Yeah.
So yeah, they won three, but they were perfectly spread out where it was like 7 or 8 years of like, I felt like we won so many more titles.
No, totally.
Because every time you win, it carries over
to
another year.
It just carries over, yeah.
So even in the years that we didn't win, we were still champs until that, you know.
And what's cool is like you got to experience that as a fan while also—
As a fan, as a DJ at the club or at the bars, you know, so.
So then 2018 rolls around. You get the call to test this out. I mean, like, talk through like what that feeling was. Like, first game, like— Again, you've been a fan. You grew up in Chicago, big Bulls fan. Grew your love for the Blackhawks as well. And now you're in it.
Yeah.
You know, how was that?
I was good with one and done. If they booked me for one game, I did the one game.
Yeah.
I would have been fine. I was like, cool. Yeah, I'll do the game. And then when it was like done, it was just kind of like, all right, that was fun. I'll add that to my list of like cool things I've done.
Yeah.
The end. Right. But so yeah, the goal was never to even, I wasn't like, oh yeah, this could be full time or this could be, you know, a lot of time. I thought it might be a one and done. And then it just kept going from there. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I got through one season. Are you going to call me back? Two.
Two.
You're going to call me back? I don't know. You don't know if it's going to end. So I enjoyed every game I did and I still do. And I'm lucky to be 7 seasons in. I can't believe it's been 7 years. It's
That's
like
crazy,
uncomfortable
man.
To talk. I'm like, 7 years?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's been great. Win or lose, I love being a part of it. I love sports in general. So take the DJ element out of it. I love sports. So first and foremost, you know, if it was just to be involved in sports was kind of my goal in life. Like, what do you want to be when you get older? Well, if I'm not going to be a pro in a sport, I want to be somewhere around it.
Yes.
I didn't even know it would be a musical thing or it'd be a DJ related thing, but I knew that sports consumed my childhood And if anyone said, what do you want to be when you get older? It would be, I don't know, but something around sports.
Something around sports.
I'll be an athletic trainer.
Yeah.
I'll be a popcorn vendor. Yeah. Get me in a stadium.
Get me in. Yeah. Hey, that was the same for me. Yeah. Yo, you talk about been doing this for 7 years, obviously DJing for 26. For me, it was kind of the opposite. I actually, you know, I came into the Ducks on the street team on a marketing side doing events, trying to promote the team.
Yeah.
I was kind of dipping into DJing a little bit. Little did I know it would turn into like, oh, like you're starting to learn how to DJ. Like, why don't you DJ this event? And that turned into like, oh, why don't you DJ in the parking lots? People are coming up at the arena, which I thought was such a big deal for me at the time. And I was like, I'm setting the tone for people before they even walk into the building, which was cool. And then it led to, hey, let's try you out of the game. And that's where I was like, oh, like this is bigger than I ever thought it would be. And I feel like a lot of people ask us, like, how did you kind of get into what you're doing? It's like, yeah, you're pursuing, but like, your opportunities, you know, turn into other opportunities.
Right.
I guess that's what the DJ equivalent is to the, I guess, corporate world, as your promotions, I guess, along the way. Right. I get the opportunities have led into other things. Like, you know, I'm now across the street over at the Angels. I'm doing Disney. I think you're kind of, it's so cool to see you doing it in another market. I know you're doing stuff with the Chicago Cubs too, right?
Yeah. I do like outside the stadium stuff or like, if they do like a charity event, like when Joe Madden was our coach, he did like a boxing event every year. So I would DJ that. If they do like a season ticket event, like we're going to be at Daily Plaza today, and if you can throw a strike, you get two tickets to opening day.
Yeah.
So I would just DJ an MC, and then like it was like with Ryan Dempster, and I would introduce him. So I would kind of MC it. Then I'd give Ryan the mic or whoever the former Cub was. I do the Pride Parade every year.
Nice.
We do like, there's here. A Puerto Rican parade that we do.
Okay.
So anything like where they need a DJ MC to be involved, kids events, packing up sports equipment for kids. They do scholarship dinners. So I've done like, there's a club at Wrigley called 1914 Club. So I've done events down there. So just like stuff like that. But during the game, they don't have an actual DJ. They have like, kind of like the clicks.
That's right. Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure. No, nonetheless, though, I mean, just to be working for these different teams and whatnot. And again, like you crush it in one, like boom, you're finding yourself working, doing a similar thing, but for other teams.
If you can do that, you can do this.
You do this and do it here. Yeah, I mean, look at you. You're doing gigs out here in California right now, and that's why we're literally here recording the podcast. So,
for sure.
I gotta ask too. With regards to, I mean, our markets are so different, Lee, right? Like you're an original six team, and we're a team by in comparison to you, we're a youngin, right?
Yeah, but it's awesome. Like who doesn't know and love the Mighty Ducks?
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So like when you guys came out in like 92 or 93,
yes, sir,
93. The world fell in love with you right away.
Of course.
It was kind of like, they're different.
Yeah.
You guys had like an angle coming in.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
even as like a, you know, like the San Jose Sharks came in. I remember everyone like, they were like, ooh, their uniforms are cool. They got teal.
Yeah.
Or like when the Charlotte Hornets joined the NBA.
Yeah.
Everyone had Hornets jackets.
Yeah.
I had a Hornets jacket. Everyone liked Grandma Ma Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, so you like, but the Ducks came in. You guys had the movie. You had that wave to ride. And I mean, I couldn't imagine a more welcome team to the NHL. So.
That's great. I mean, especially coming from someone who grew up a Blackhawks fan in the original six market,
right,
to you know, have that kind of thought for the new team coming in. For us as DJs, though, I'm just curious to know, like, I think you feel like there's a difference, you know, between the markets from a fan standpoint, or even how we decide how we engage with this crowd with regards to the music and how we're putting it out and whatnot, especially again between us two.
I think because music is so accessible nowadays and because of the Spotify's, I think we're more uniform than ever. Like, I remember traveling out to California and listening to your radio stations and learning new music out here. I don't feel that anymore.
No.
Because of the Spotify, because of streaming.
It's accessible everywhere.
Even
anywhere.
TikTok and yeah. Instagram. Like, we're learning all the same things around the same time.
Yeah.
But I remember when I would come out to California and I'd have a rental car, I would always keep your radio station on and I would, you know, type down the lyrics or whatever to get it. Like yeah. I would get new music yeah. when I would come out yeah. here. But I feel like we're more uniform now because music's just more accessible and we can all kind of dip into the same record pools, you know, or spot, like I said, Spotify's and stuff like that. But I'll see tomorrow. I mean, yeah. I'm interested to see what you guys play. I'm going to learn a lot.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm here, you know, as a guest. And just to take it in because it's going to be fun for me because I can't say I've been to a ton of away games, mm-hmm. but this is one of those that I'm like, hey, I'm going to be in town. This will be a great opportunity not only to network, but to see what you guys do.
Yeah.
And pick up all the good from that as well.
Let's go. Hopefully I could return, you know, the same sentiment and go out to Chicago too. That's honestly one of my bucket list venues.
Absolutely.
The fact that you pack it in, you know, close to or over 20,000 for a hockey game is insane
just
to me.
Even during the week.
Yo.
Off peak. Like
that's insane.
It's awesome. I love that. I think 22 something thousand.
Well, hey, Ducks fans, make sure y'all show out and show someone in like someone like Lee, who's, you know, up in the United Center every single game, how we do it up here in Anaheim, man. Yep. So, let's get into some fun here a little bit too, right? Like, you know, for you, let's get away from the DJ side, you know, Lee, this might be a hard question to answer, but dude, if you weren't a DJ, what do you think that you'd be doing here today?
If I wasn't a DJ, if I wasn't a professional athlete, like I've previously discussed, which I realized after high school that wasn't happening. So, I did play sports all throughout high school.
Okay.
I was in basketball, baseball, and football. Mostly I did basketball, a year in high school. I went to a really tough private school. So I realized that I couldn't do three sports. It was just not happening. So I focused on baseball, football. I had good high school career. I could have played college at a lower level.
Yeah.
Realized if I'm not going to be Division I, what's the point?
Yeah, okay.
So that was the point when I realized that music might be an opportunity.
I'd be the opportunity.
But forget pro athlete, all that stuff. Probably a high school teacher.
Okay. Probably I can see it.
Yeah.
Mr. Michaels?
Yes. And a coach. And a coach.
Okay.
I
can totally see you being that high school like
the
teacher
combo, yeah.
and then the varsity head coach, staying like from 8 a.m. doing it and then doing a practice all the way to like 8, 9 p.m. every single day. Like,
sports would have to be a part of it. But I think being a high school teacher would be something I would definitely in another life do. But also I say this all the time, but I also love live bands.
Okay.
So I always wanted to be like a drummer or like, you know, lead guitar, lead singer of a band, but I've never played a musical instrument and I regret it to this day for never trying,
man,
because I love live bands and I love what they do, but I just never got into it. So
I'm not going to lie. I'm seriously like, I don't know if it's just like the DJ thing. I'm literally meeting Lee for the first time recording this podcast. He's going to be a special guest for the Ducks Blackhawks game as well. But dude, my answer is literally the same. I always tell myself, well, one, I don't think I'd be smart enough to be like a teacher, like an academic teacher, like a math teacher or anything like that. I always told myself, like, I'd be like an ASB, like, director or something.
I get it.
And then, maybe be a coach. I play football as well, you know, and whatnot, too. And I always told myself, I'd mess with Costco, too. I don't know why. I don't know why, Dan. Like, it there's just something, like, I remember I told myself, like, if the DJ thing didn't go through, I know I could grind it out at Costco. Yeah, there's just something about that. But, you know, us as DJs, I feel like, because I used to serve tables, too.
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of us in our, you know, career fields, whatever it may be, if we cross paths with it anywhere else, we tend to be critical, whether that's good or bad, right? So for me, like, you know, going to a restaurant and the way, you know, the services or whatever, I connect to it because I did it for a while. As a DJ, how How is that for you? Whether that's you going to a club or whether that's you or even going into like you're just watching the Hawks on TV. And let's just say you're in Chicago and you're watching tomorrow's game against us and you're listening to what I'm playing. Like, truthfully, honestly, like how much does that get into your head in terms of being kind of critical, again, whether it's positive or negative, into, you know, the field because you're so close to it?
I think in certain formats, I'm more critical only if it's really extremely bad. But I'm never going to be unfair. Like, of course. Like I don't overly listen either because I'm a DJ. So it's not like I'm like super focused on the music all the time. I feel like some days I am and other days I'm like completely disconnected. But yeah, there's times where unless it's extremely bad, I'm not going to pick up on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even DJs that don't mix, if they choose the right songs, I'm just as excited for them because I get it. I know what it's like to not know how to mix. And I've had DJs at bars be like, I'm nervous you're here. Cause I don't do what you do. And I'm like, dude, I don't care. You play good stuff.
Hey, the crowd. Hey, that's what matters.
So, but I'm not one of those guys that's going to like listen to a DJ and be like, this sucks. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No,
because
yeah,
I'm just going to assume that he's at a place that I've been.
For sure.
We didn't walk into this good.
Yeah.
Like at all.
Speaking of that, can you recall, let's talk through, you know, a favorite and least favorite moment at a Blackhawks game for you. So even speaking of that, I want to start off with the bad moment. Like in terms of, is there a moment that you feel, even going back to what we were just talking about, like another DJ might've thought, like, as much as I don't want to like harp on this or hate on this, like, wow, that was pretty tough.
Well, for me, I had, we were using the Rain turntables and mixer.
Okay. Yep.
And the firmware wasn't updated at one point.
Okay.
And it did a backspin on its own one time during my live set. And it probably, I don't know the speed, but it was probably like 400 miles per hour backwards.
Oh man.
And then I like.
And that's tough because the people don't know that was out of your control.
Somebody said that was awesome. And I was like, I didn't do that. Yeah. The turntable was possessed. They're like, that was so cool how you did that.
How you did that little spin thing, even though you like didn't mean to do it.
I was like sweating.
Oh
my gosh.
I was like,
that was not supposed to happen. That was terrible. And they're like, it sounded cool from our end.
Yeah.
But I was like live. I was like playing like T.I. What You Know About That.
Yep.
And it went crazy. Dude, out of nowhere, it went in full reverse at 400 miles an hour.
That's wild.
And then I went back to whatever was on the right. I don't know.
Hey.
And the guy was like, that was sick. And I was like,
sick.
Dude, I'm like sweating.
Oh, hey, that's good though.
And then I like put my head down. I like squatted below like the turntables and I just like was in that crouch position. Like, okay, no one knows.
Yeah.
I hope no one knows.
And if anything, someone loved it.
So yeah. So that was, but it's one of those, we are our biggest critics.
Oh, 100%.
And so when I make a mistake, I hope 99 times out of 100, I'm the only one that knows.
Yeah.
Or someone's going to be like, that was awesome.
Yo.
And I'm like, no, it wasn't.
And what about a favorite moment?
With
the Blackhawks, United Center, moment in the game, was it a song or was that a reaction to something that you played? Like, yeah, talk through that.
I think it's just so electric when anything you do, you can feel it in the air that it matters. You see a little kid jumping up and down. Yep. I'll just pan throughout the crowd or watch on the Jumbotron and like the littlest thing will be like awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's something every game that I'll pick up where I'm just like, God, I love my job.
Yeah.
Or like a security guard. He's like, hey man, you don't know me, but like, I see you at games and stuff. Can you send me some songs?
Oh, I love that.
And I'm like, yeah, what do you mean? He's like, I love what you play. And I'm like, that means a lot. Like forget the money, forget how cool this whole thing is.
Yep.
Just this guy coming up to me being like, I've been listening to you for years here and I was nervous to approach you about getting like a playlist. And he's like, do you have playlists? And I was like, yeah, I didn't. But I created one for him
absolutely.
Because it meant that much to me that he actually cared and listened.
Yeah.
So,
and had the courage enough to ask. I feel like a lot of people wouldn't do that. Man, I feel the same exact way. Whether that's looking around or you know, seeing people bop their heads to the music or singing along to something that you wanted them to respond to. It's absolutely amazing. But yeah, no, I think after this, man, I've just realized regardless of the team you work for. the market that you're in, man, we are really here for the same purpose.
For sure.
And we are here to entertain our crowds. And regardless of how friendly we are right now, tomorrow, you're not my friend, man.
It's fine.
You know, and no, I'm just playing. No, that really is the love of this job and this game, man. And for sports enthusiasts like us to be able to now work in it,
for sure,
is such a blessing in itself. And yeah, I look forward to you being here and seeing how we're doing things in Anaheim. And again, you being in with the team that you're in for as long as you've been doing, man, mad respect for what you do. And we're just so happy to have you, man. And so yeah, thanks for jumping on the show.
Totally,
man.
I love it.
Spinning it. Hey, this is where the definition of the title of the show really comes in, man. And that this is a show within a professional hockey team in the NHL. But at no point did we talk about anything that had to do with any of the actual players, stat lines,
right.
Like anything like that, man. This is all talking about everything outside of that. And in our cases, entertaining the fans, man.
For sure.
So DJ Lee Michaels, man, thank you for coming out. Let's go Ducks. he's all being timid. Nah, it's okay.
No, it's fine.
Hey, yeah, yeah. You know, that's part of the fun too, man. I'm going to say, let's go Ducks.
Let's go Hawks.
And that's what it is, man. Let's see who's going to take this dub. But regardless of who wins on the ice, who loses, man, I gained a new friend here, fellow DJ, DJ Lee Michaels, coming on Spinning. Thank you for coming out, man.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Let's go.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.